Chapter 23. The Heretic. Afterwards. A bare hand's breadth from my head, the blood-red blade came to a dead stop, blocked by the gleaming steel of Barbarisata. Time seemed to stand still for a heartbeat. We faced each other, our blades locked together. Quixos had been a speed-distorted phantom until our swords had struck. Now he was frozen, glaring between the crossed blades at me. The renegade's armor was ragged and filthy, and ornate with warp signs. His inquisitorial rosette was displayed, incongruously, on his right shoulder guard. It revolted me to see it worn amongst such corruption. His ancient face was a misshapen pustular horror. Rudimentary antlers bulged from his brow. His skin was dark like granite. Wheezing augmetic cables and implants bulged at his throat and under the dirty headcloth he wore. His eyes were shining balls of blood. In honesty, he was a disappointing little monster compared to the notion of him that had been built up in my mind. But there was no denying his inhuman strength and speed.
"Eisenhorn," he said.
It was psychic. His twisted mouth didn't open. Barbarisata felt him move before I did. It lurched in my hands. In the time it takes to draw a breath, we had exchanged a flurry of 20 or more blows. The talon-edged blade of Carniger rang dully off the Carthayan steel. Barbarisata's pentagrammatic runes flashed and flared with discharging energy. Carniger groaned softly.
"Heretic, slave of chaos,"
his raw, broken mind voice railed in my brain. "You speak of yourself," I returned. Our blades continued to ring off one another, hunting for a gap, mutually denied.
"Why would you try to end my work here if you were not a minion of the warp?"
"Your work? This thing?" We broke and then came in again, blades striking so fast the noise became one long ringing tone. I barely made an ulsar in time to stop one of his rapid downstabs. He blocked my response of a Tarnweiler and the Uru Arav that I followed it with.
"This is just the test, the prototype. Once the trials with it are conducted, then my work will flower."
"You carve up a mountain for a prototype? A prototype of what?"
"The pylons of Cadia pacify the warp," he spat. "By amplifying them using extreme level psychers, they could be made into a weapon. A weapon to collapse the Eye of Terror in upon itself."
He was raving. Insane. What patches of truth or sane notions might lurk in his words, I had no idea. There was no way to distinguish them from his lunatic fancy. All I knew was that a pylon, psychically supercharged, might do all manner of things, but its side effects would be catastrophic. It could lay waste to the continent, the planet. I think, and here lay the true horror of it, I think Quixos knew that. I think he considered that to be an acceptable price to pay, just as he had considered the atrocity on Thracian a necessary cost to obtain a psyker of such peerless quality as a Sarodon. What other abominations had he caused in acquiring the others? As Grumman had said, just before his death, this simply had to be stopped. I looked at his face. This was where radicalism led. This was the true face of one who had reached the place and crossed the line. This was the obscene reality behind Pontius Glaur's jaunty glorifications of chaos. We rained blows at each other, drawing sparks and little curls of vapor from the blade edges. I tried a low swing, but he leapt over it and alternated a series of scissoring blows that drove me backwards across the dusty ground. I thought my feet would slip. He was a whirlwind. I saw my moment. Barbarisata saw it too. A slight underswing on his blade returned that opened a gap for a Sa'at-Ut, a slice to the heart, just for a microsecond. I thrust in, putting all my will into the blade. Somehow, dazzlingly, he still managed to turn Carniger and block me. Barbarisata struck the demon sword and broke in half. And it was the ultimate failure of the ancient Carthayan blade that gave me victory. If it had stayed intact, the block would have stopped it, and the fight would have continued. Breaking around Quixos's sword edge, the truncated half of Barbarisata in my hand continued on, with all my mustered force behind it, until the broken end plunged through his cloak, his body armor, his augmetic implants, and ran him through the torso. The Ulcair. It took almost equal force to break the suction of his flesh around the blade and rip it out. Quixos staggered backwards, polluted blood spurting from the wound, his augmetics shorting out and exploding. Then he fell to the dusty floor of the undervault and became dust himself, until there was nothing left but rotting augmetic devices and empty armor twisted under his lank cape.
"Heretic!"
his mind screeched out as he died. Coming from him, the word felt like a compliment. Site A was dismantled and destroyed by the task force, and the foe pylon smashed by sustained orbital fire. Quixos's psychers and his surviving servants were imprisoned, and then turned over to the black ships of the Inquisition, six of which arrived a few days later, once we had published news of our achievement. Most of the captives were deemed too dangerous or too tainted to keep, even under the closest guard, and were executed. Isaradon was one of those. Many precious texts and artifacts were recovered from Site A, and many more that were diabolic and abominable. He had accumulated a vast resource of esoteric material, and there was supposed to be a great deal more at his fastness on distant Machynor. A further purge would reveal the truth of that. As the report has it, no trace was ever found of the Malus Codicium, the foul grimoire on which his power had ultimately been based. By the time I had returned to Gudrun with my followers and allies, the charta issued against me had been abolished. None of Ozma's allegations could stand up in the face of the evidence gathered at Farnes, or the many statements collected by the Inquisition, statements pleading my innocence made by such individuals as Lord Procurator Matathene, Inquisitor General Neve, Interrogator Inchabel, and, God Emperor help him, Titus Endor. I was never offered any sort of official apology, not by Grandmaster Orsini, or by Bezier, and certainly not by Ozma. His career didn't suffer one bit. 20 years later, he was elected Master of the Ordo Malleus Helican after Bezier's sudden, unexpected death. Grumman's remains and the remains of his Khazarakin were buried in one of the lonely field grave plots on Cadia, to be remembered as long as the law of decipherability allowed. Ricci had a library named after him on his home world of Hesperus. Voke was buried with full honours at the Thorian sacristy, adjoining the great cathedral of the Ministorum on Thracian Primaris. A small brass plaque commemorating the achievements of his long and dedicated career remains on the sacristy wall to this day. He and I had never been friends, but I own that in the years after he was gone, I missed his caustic manner from time to time.